children. What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Masks Weekly Radio Show on Family Matters. Mask mothers and fathers aligned, saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health struggles, including addiction. If you know somebody that needs a referral for a therapist, an inpatient or outpatient program, please give them our number, 718-758-0400. I'll repeat the number. You may want to jot it down for yourself, a loved one, a neighbor, or someone you usually would sit next to and show. Our number again, 718-758-0400. Remember, all calls are kept strictly confidential. Tonight's guest is someone that I've been working with for so many years, very successfully working with her, and she is a friend, a colleague, somebody that is there for our girls all the time, 24 hours, and I could say almost 7 days a week, and that is Nanette Sanchez. And she is from the ranch. And we all know the ranch was founded by Rabbi Wallerstein, Olav Shalom, who's been on my radio in the past years and years. We've had working relationship, getting girls into his programs, one of many programs that Rabbi Wallerstein, Olav Shalom, has started, and it continues with the help of so many. I'm going to give a shout out to Yankee Elephant and the family, the Wallersteins. So I'd like to welcome you on tonight, Nanette. How are you?
Hi, thank you so much, Rahama, for having me. And I want to thank you so much for all the work that you do at Mask and for collaborating with us as well. We appreciate you so much.
Well, thank you. And my staff always says that it's so easy working along with you, your staff, Yankee Elephant, to help the young ladies to go into, you know, a new journey, a better journey, and heal at the ranch. So let's first tell everyone, for those of my listeners that don't know about the ranch, why don't you just give us a little background? You have had 25 years of work experience in child welfare, and you know about what happens to young girls and boys when they go through difficult times and trauma. You have so many years of experience with that. And you are the clinical director at the ranch. So why don't you tell my listeners more about the ranch, please?
So basically, the ranch is a place that is a safe, holistic, therapeutic environment for girls who have gone through trauma. They can come and they can heal and get away from the people and escape the triggers that remind them of their trauma. As you know, going through trauma, you need to get away from the environments and the people that have essentially contributed to your trauma. So it doesn't help to be in the same environment that has caused the trauma. So you need to remove yourself. And as we know, there is so many different environments out there that do help, but what we do here at the ranch is get to the core of it. We're not just filling girls up with medication and sending them back into the environments.
Right. So parents will ask, how is it different than a rehab? And yes, it's not about, you know, sending them to rehab. There is a place for many girls to first go to rehab or go to rehab from the ranch. So why don't you tell my listeners what you do service? Who do you service?
So we do service teens and young women from ages 15 to 22. And we service anyone that is struggling with any kind of diagnosis, mental health issues. The only thing that we don't service is schizophrenia for the obvious reasons. Schizophrenia, you have to have certain modalities for. I do have experience in it, but you need an entire team to deal with it. And I don't have the team for that. We don't service active eating disorders. And the reason being, we don't have the medical team to tube the girls and so forth. So we will help a girl who's gone through eating disorder treatment and they need to come here and they need to now take what they've learned in an eating disorder facility and they need to come here and work with what they've already known in a less restrictive environment. So it's sort of like a step down program because we do have the dietitian that will still continue to help them and they can make their meals and so forth here, but they also have the support. So it's not so restrictive as an eating disorder facility. I would consider it maybe like an IOP, but we have the equine therapy and we have the other group modalities that are very helpful for them while they're trying to see if they can take what they've learned in an eating disorder facility and implement it here with less restrictions. And on top of that, we're helping them work on their trauma that they may have not finished working while they were in the eating disorder facility and working with families if their trauma has to do with their family dynamic, because I am an MFT. So most of my work is with the family system. MFT work is working with a systemic family. So that's the foundation of the work we do here.
So I'm glad you brought up that you don't have a medical team, because I want people to understand that when there's an eating disorder, you must have a team approach, medical, psychiatry, therapy. So that's, we're just letting our listeners know that it's not just going to an eating disorder therapist. Mm-hmm. You need additional therapies like psychiatry, et cetera, to be involved in order for it to be more successful.
So we do have the psychiatry and we work with a clinic. We work very closely with a medical clinic that we are not far from, but on site, I don't have a medical doctor. I do have a psychiatrist and I do have those physicians, but I don't have anyone here. If a girl is struggling with a heart condition and things like that, I don't have someone on site, a medical MD on site every day that can check their vitals. And that's very important for someone who does have an eating disorder.
Right. So that is why they first go to an inpatient rehab, gain the tools that they need. And then for those that don't know what an IOP is, it's an intensive outpatient program. And it's sort of like a sober living. Those that think of sober living is a home where people live together that are coming out of rehab. And if they go to a step down from the rehab into the big world, they need a stopover. So they live together. The same kind of idea. So Nanette, let's talk about what kind of modalities, therapies that you offer at the ranch, please.
Okay, so basically we have group therapies, which include DBT, CBT, we have yoga, we have art therapy, mindfulness, we have self-love, process, independent living skills. We have all of those modalities, the basic ones. The foundation of the ranch is equine therapy, and I want to spend time talking about the equine therapy because it's so important. And we do a lot of animal-assisted therapy, which I don't think people realize how vital that is to the healing that we do here. And the equine therapy, honestly, is really the foundation of what we do here at the ranch.
So let's talk about the equine therapy and how it works so well.
Okay. So our clients come to us, right? And most of them, if not all of them, because of their trauma, have lost their hope and their trust in humanity. So through the equine therapy, their healing starts. And when the client and the horse makes a connection, and they make such an amazing connection, each girl is paired up with their horse. And actually, I know it sounds crazy, but you don't realize it until you actually see it. The horse actually picks the girl. These horses are trained and they pick the girls. And so the client is connected with their horse. And through that, they start to build trust and hope, and they regain that. And the healing then starts with the girls and the healing muscles. And ultimately, they start to work through their trauma that way. So while they're working with their horse and they're building trust and so forth, up here in the main house, slowly we're working with them building trust in us. And most of the girls, they come in so guarded and so they don't want to talk to us. So we're going very slow with them, and we're going at their pace, and we're building trust, and we're building a rapport with them and a connection. And as they're building it with the horse, they come up and they're so excited to tell us, you know, this is what I've done today with my horse. And then they're starting to connect with us that way. It's so amazing. It's unbelievable.
Well, I was there and I visited when, when I sent people, I like to visit. Mm-hmm. And number one, I want everyone to know it is a magnificent place. How many acres is it?
It's over hundreds.
It's like the most gorgeous. I mean, really, I'd like to go for a vacation there. Let me know when you invite me, you know.
You're always welcome. Always thank welcome. You know that.
And the horses. Yeah, thank you. And the horses are there. It is just a magnificent. You pull up, and when the girls come and they see where you're taking them in their mind, they have no idea. They think they're going to some, like, you know, broken down home with no curtains or nothing. And meanwhile, they come there and it's such a luxurious area, beautiful, kept well. And the horses, like you say, does so much for them. You know, animals in general, these kids that are broken, they always ask for a dog. They want a cat. They want a dog. They want a bunny rabbit.
We have goats. We have a rabbit, we have chickens, we have a rooster. And funny story, one night I was working really late in my office, and I came out of my office, I opened the door, and like right there was a fox staring at me. And I looked at him and I was like, okay, listen here, I'm gonna go that way, you're gonna go to the right, and that's that. And I ran so quick to the girls' cottage, and I went in there, and they were like, are you okay? And I was like, there was a fox out there. And they were like, oh, that's Tom. I said, excuse me? They were like, yeah, that's Tom. He was looking for dinner. We're late with his dinner. So the girls are feeding. I was like, you cannot feed the wild animals.
Yeah, and they love that.
Yeah, so this is what this they feed the deers. And So this is the life up here that we have.
Right. I didn't know you had chickens and a rooster. I was born on a chicken farm in Barnley, yep. New Jersey. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Got to visit them. So how many girls do you have there now?
So currently we have 10 girls. We can sleep up to 13. We do have 10 girls currently. And you know, again, it's one of those things that I go through every girl, and I get a lot of phone calls, and I get a lot of requests, but we're not just trying to fill beds. You know that, Rahama. I tell you that all the time. Like, I always have one or two beds empty, and there's times where I'm very full, but I'm very selective on the girls that we take. And the reason being is because we want to make sure that the girl that we help, that we take in, that we honestly can help. We're not just trying to fill beds. There's times where we've had 5 girls and we've had a ton of empty beds, and there's times where we had 13 girls. But again, we want to make sure that the girls that we're taking, that we can honestly help. And if we can help them, we're going to try to give referrals to them for other places and so forth. When, you know, and it's just honestly really where we're at this point, you know?
Right. We've been very successful with the referrals that we've made to the ranch all through the years. The girls are doing great. And, you know, they come in the first day, they're nervous, they're scared. But, I mean, our girl, one of them stayed 2 years by you. I mean, let's talk about the intake process, please.
So I get a phone call. If I get it from you or the hospital or a family, typically what happens is I take the information. I can usually tell based off of the basic information. If it's someone that I think might be a potential match, I send out the intake packet. They complete it. They send it back. If I think it's someone I want to move forward with, my team, I have a social worker that works with me, and we gather all the clinical information. We start speaking to whoever works with them, such as the social workers or psychiatrists, and we get as much clinical information as possible. And then, obviously, we interview the girl. The key component of all of this is that the client has to want to come. I will not take a girl that does not want to be here, because if they don't want to be here, they're not going to buy into the program. And if they don't buy into the program, it's a waste of their time, my time, their parents' time, and frankly, everybody's money. That's really what it comes down to. They have to want to be here, and they have to want to put the work into it. So once the client says, after they've met me and they've been here and they've seen it, and they've met the team that they want and they're interested, and they may even start off saying, yeah, I want to do this. And then they get here and they realize, yeah, this is really difficult. They really mean business. They really mean I'm going to do the work. I'm not going to just sit here and not do the work. They may get nervous and scared, because it is scary. Working on your trauma is scary. But you know, if they decide they want to come and they really want to put the effort and work into it, then we're going to work with them, and then that's the process.
Nanette, it's important that parents know and understand that when somebody has a big T, a big trauma, or a little T, it doesn't matter what we as parents think of it as. It matters how they are processing it. And it's important that we understand that not always 45 minutes once a week at a therapist locally is a good idea. Because like you said, it's hard work. You open up you rip the Band-Aid off in therapy and you deal with what's going on. And then they leave and they go home and they're stuck with all that open pain. So the benefit of going inpatient and to the ranch is that as a group, when they finish therapy, there could be group processing, they have their psychiatrist, there are girls around, therapists around to discuss it, you're there. So explain how that goes on for a girl when she really is suffering and needs that whole support system and why it's so helpful.
Yeah. Thank you, Rahama, for that, because it is very important. I think people don't realize that. It's really important because, as you said, you know, I always equate it to four of us, the three of us right here, we can all be in a car and we can have a car accident.
God forbid.
Right? God forbid. We're all going to perceive that accident differently. It might affect me much differently than it's going to affect someone else. Everybody deals with trauma differently. Their body reacts to trauma differently. So,
and I'm going to interrupt with the body keeps the score,
absolutely.
Which means
that.
Right. Which actually means that when there is something happening, when a girl or a boy is 5 or 10 years old, they could start acting it out when they're 15 and 20 and 30.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so with that being said, going through the process and working through your trauma, having someone here, and when the girls come in now, more recently, the body keeps the score, one of the reading books that we give them. There's two books that they get, the five love languages and the body keeps the score. And they get that with their journal. And that's part of their reading that they have to complete. And so with that being said, they're here and they're working through their trauma and they always have someone, you know, girls go into therapy and they could be fine. They go through it and they do a check-in with me and they're like, how was the therapy? And they're like, it's great. It was wonderful. It just actually happened yesterday. And then later on in the evening, the girl had a panic attack. And everybody's like, what happened? She can't put two and two together. So I'm on the phone with her and I'm having a conversation. And I'm like, what do you think triggered it? And she's like, I have no idea. So I'm like, let's process the day. So we went through everything. And then I said, do you not see a correlation? I figured out through speaking to her that it was something she discussed in her therapy session. Now, obviously she didn't realize it. Me being the professional was able to make the correlation for her, but she didn't realize it. Those are the things that if she was home, she wouldn't have a professional that she can lean on that can make that correlation. But now it's documented. So the next time she's able to realize, okay, I now identified a trigger and a correlation between A and B. So the next time this happens, I will be well prepared.
Absolutely. Now, MASC is about the parents. You know, parents aren't taught about all the mental health things all the years until now since COVID, thank God, where, you know, it's more out there and less stigma involved and all the therapists and rehab, everyone's book solid. So people are getting help. But in reference to families, MASC offers parent support groups, and many of the parents whose girls are in the ranch attend our parent Zoom support groups, which are Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Monday night, Dr. Debbie Ackerman. Tuesday night, Dr. Shmuel Brachfeld. And Wednesday night, Rabbi Dr. Ben Sion Tversky. In person, we have once a month, Dr. Trish Atia in Brooklyn. Anyone that wants to join a support group, please give us a call at 718-758-0400. But I do want to say that a parent support group is not the only involvement. I want you to hear what involvement the ranch has with those parents, please.
Yeah. So as I said earlier, we understand, and my goal is that the parents are completely involved. And obviously, in the very beginning, we focus on the client, the youth themselves. So in the very beginning, there's less involvement for the parent because we're developing trust and a relationship and connection with the girl themselves. But the girls know that they cannot leave here without doing some kind of therapy with their parent. It is necessary. Regardless of what they feel, they're never going to escape their family. They can't just do away with their family. Their family is there no matter what. So I'm very big on the family system. And you can't fully heal until you resolve that part of your life with your family. Even if you never speak to them again, you have to go back and resolve some of that trauma.
Which we don't recommend at all. Never speak to them again.
Exactly. The goal is that they heal and they work through whatever pain or trauma it is. And restoration is my main goal. I believe that you cannot live life without your family.
And we always say, before you hold a grudge, hold the conversation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I've worked with I've had girls come in who say they would never speak to their father again or their mother. And by the time they leave here, I just discharged four girls. Out of the four girls, all four of them had a parent that they said they would never speak with. And I'm in constant communication with the families. And they are doing amazing with the one parent that they said they would never speak with.
It's
amazing to me.
Fabulous.
Sometimes it's just a matter of miscommunication or a misperceptions, you know?
Right. So we're running out of time, and it's important that my listeners know what happens when a girl is discharged. You discharge four girls. Can mm-hmm. you share what kind of discharge they have?
Absolutely.
With keep in mind confidentiality.
Yeah, absolutely. So our goal is obviously to integrate them back into their communities, right? Some of them will go to seminary school. Some will go to college. Some of them will go to work. It really depends on the girls. Right now, recently, we started a new division. It's called the Lev Zakaya. It provides a mentoring offering service to our graduates. Eventually, that will open up to the community, but basically, it's for the girls that have graduated the ranch. It's an after care program, and they provide services for the girls that graduate and follow them and give them mentoring and different things like that. So,
wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. That is great. Well, we're running out of time. Thank you, Nanette.
Yes, thank you so much.
And I hope to have you on again soon.
Yes, and I can't wait to see you soon.
Good. See you at the Nefesh Conference, God willing.
Yes, sure.
In December.
Sure.
All
yes,
right. So anybody that wants to speak to Nanette, give us a call, 718-758-0400. And I personally will make sure that Nanette calls you back. And I want to wish everyone a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos. And always remember, hang in, hold on, hug tight. Tonight's show is in honor of all the Chayalim. Bring the hostages home now. Thank you. Please consider to go online to maskparents.org and donate so we could continue with all the mask programs. Thank you and good night.
Podcasts are everywhere, but cutting through the noise is tough. Did you know of the 5 million podcasts worldwide, half of them only get 30 listeners? Want to reach a bigger audience? Think radio. TalkLine Network gets you targeted listeners who are ready to engage with your message. Host your own show with us and supercharge your podcast's reach. We'll help you connect with the right audience. For a free consultation, call TalkLine Network today at 212-769-1925, extension 100. That's 212-769-1925 or email zevbrenner@gmail.com. That's 212-769-1925, extension 100.